How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, please stand up and hold it above your head and bear witness of God's Word. Beautiful. Show it to the person behind you. Show it to the person beside of you. You may be seated, please. I've been pretty excited to share this message with you. It's something actually that God had laid on my heart months ago. And, you know, He gives you a little bit here and a little bit there. And then He completely puts your mind on it. And so I told some people yesterday, you know, it's been one of these things that He's given me in pieces and worked on it. And so the last couple of days that I've spent working on the sermon has been to whittle it down. You know, whenever He's teaching it to me, I want to be able to give it to you in a palatable portion. So there's a couple of places I want you to turn to. One is Psalms 139. One is 1 Samuel 16. Psalms 139. 1 Samuel 16. And 2 Peter chapter 1. Psalms 139, 1 Samuel 16, 2 Peter chapter 1. When you find your place, say, I have it. Now, I've just given you those three passages of Scripture, and we'll start with those pretty consecutively, but I want to read to you something that comes in, for those taking notes, I want to read to you and start this with a statement that comes from God from the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. And you don't have to turn there, it's one verse, but you can mark it on your notes. Jeremiah 17, the Lord makes this statement through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. Say it with me.
I, the Lord, search the heart.
One more time. Who's speaking here? So he's saying, I'm looking within you. Not on the surface, but within you. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, meaning the mind. That means he's looking at our heart. He's looking at our mind. Now, are our heart and our mind on the outside of us or the inside of us? How many people really know your heart or know your mind? You do, but we're learning here who else does. And he says, not only can I, he says, I do, right? I search the heart, I try the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So I want you to understand something. God is searching our heart, searching our mind, those invisible things, those things that are under the surface of us. Why? Listen, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit that he's bearing externally. God is searching our heart and mind because he wants to give us, he wants to see if our heart and our mind are focused on what he wants us to be focused on. If they are, then he wants to help us with that. Isn't that a great thing? It's a great thing unless our heart and mind aren't focused on what we need them to be focused on. And then we could basically, even as a Christian, any Christians here? Even as a Christian, we could spend our Christian life knowing that God is looking below the surface. He's seeing our heart and mind, and we're wondering, why don't we have help with this, and why don't we have help with this? Well, he's searching our heart and mind so that he can give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You see, God's going to give regardless. It might be a great thing, and it might not be a great thing. It's not according to anything except this hidden part. Scary to think about someone knowing our private thoughts and the intents of our heart, right? Would you invite God today to search your heart and to try your mind? Easy answer is yes. But what a revealing thing to come and say, God, would you please search my heart? Well, I wouldn't have wanted him to yesterday at 5 o'clock when I was in that little traffic dilemma going on. Wouldn't have wanted him to look in there then, but he was looking, right? For him to know the intents, every intention that we have, You know, I can look at some of you and you can look at me and we can assume the best. Oh, they're doing that because of this. But God knows, right? And I had all these people stand up this morning because, you know, of course they're giving the answer. This is why. But sometimes don't our intentions change just mid-course? Our mind goes this way and it becomes about us. Who would know that? We would know it. Who else would know it? You know, David prayed a prayer in Psalms 139. And I think about the boldness of David. And listen to this prayer that David prayed. And this was the verse I wanted to start with. David prayed this prayer. He said, now this is an invitation to God. He's talking to God. Search me, O God. So David's asking for it. How many of us would be confident enough, knowing that our heart and our mind is in the right place with God, to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Well, we all say, well, we'd love God to do that. Would we? Would I want my wife to know every thought that I had yesterday, even in maybe points of irritation of things that I thought should go a certain way, but she planned a different way? No, they're better off that she doesn't even know. Right? Right? And I don't want to know her thoughts. If she did, I mean, I would really have to pay special attention to guard my heart and guard my thoughts, because there's a part of me that is self-centered. I know you're saying, no, no. But there's a part of you that's self-centered too. I have my own agenda, have the way I want it to work out with. So David invited the Lord. So I thought, what a great example, David. And when David comes onto the pages of Scripture, the first part of the story where he is this main character is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And Israel, they wanted a king so bad after the time of the judges, and they asked God and asked God and asked God, and he said, fine, I'm going to give you a king. It's King Saul. And when you get to chapters 14 and 15, you begin to see in 1 Samuel that Saul disobeyed God. He didn't do what God told him to do, and then he acted like he didn't. God told him a specific thing and said, I'm going to help you in this because you're my anointed. And as the prophet Samuel was talking to him and he was trying to explain, I did everything. And Samuel said, then what is that I hear? I told you that you were supposed to go in and destroy this. Is that, I can't hardly hear you because of the sheep that you were supposed to do away with, right? God took the throne from Saul. He said, Samuel, I want you to go and I want you to anoint a new king. This king is going to come from the house of Jesse. Jesse lived in Bethlehem. He was a Bethlehemite. And we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16 as Saul reaches Jesse's house. And Saul knew that it was one of Jesse's sons that would be anointed king. We read this. So the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what you shall do, and you shall anoint me, him whom I name unto thee. God said, you go there, I'm going to show you who you're going to anoint to be king. Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? You know, when the prophet of God comes to your town, knowing you have the power of God, their first thing was, hey, are we okay? I mean, do you come in peace? I mean, we know that God's working through you. So he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Eliab was a son of Jesse. It was the older brother of David. And man, what a strong looking young man, and looked polished and looked exactly from the outside what you would want to see in the king. Surely this is the one. When he stood in front of him, he thought, man, this is a son that has leadership, a son that has strength. He must have been pretty smart. He could tell by the conversation. So Samuel immediately said, this is it. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. It came to pass, that Eliab, as he stood in front of him, the Lord said to Samuel, hey Samuel, you're looking at this the wrong way. Look not on his countenance, meaning his appearance, or not on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Now listen to the statement. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the Lord looketh on the outward. Lord looketh, because I have refused him. The Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now we know from this story that Samuel ended up anointing David. They had to call David out of the field, right? And God said, this is him. But I want you to understand here that this statement is not a small statement. The Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the Lord looketh, does not look on the outward appearance like a man does. The Lord looks on the heart. God looks at our heart to see if we're willing to accomplish his purpose. What was the purpose that they were going to anoint one of these sons? They were going to be what? The king. They had to be able to serve God, to represent God. This was God's chosen people, and he would be God's anointed, which means God would be helping him do whatever it was he needed to do. To be able to know that as the children of Israel lived their life, they needed to represent not who they were, but who God was. I want you to take all of this in the context. You see, God saw that internally, David wanted what he wanted. The Bible says and gives us record that David was a man after God's own heart. He was described this way. And even as we get to the book of Acts, and I'll give you just for reference and you can write it on your notes, but you get to the book of Acts chapter 13, you'll read something like this in verses 21 and 22. Afterward, they desired a king. God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Now listen, which shall fulfill my will. So God was bearing witness of David, and Paul was repeating that witness. I have found David, a man after my own what? But not just that, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. You see, God was saying, I looked on his heart and saw that his heart was devoted to my purpose. Okay? You got that? His heart was devoted to my purpose. Now I ask all these people this morning, because do you realize, even as the Christians are listening to this message, do you realize that God has a purpose for all of us? But do you realize if our heart isn't committed to his purpose, then we're not going to fulfill his will. There's no way that we can be blessed in our actions if we're trying to fulfill our own purpose instead of his. And you might say, well, that's exactly right, and people shouldn't do that. We all have times where we switch from God's purpose back to our purpose, don't we? Amen. If that weren't the case, I couldn't give you 100 different excuses to why some people haven't been here lately. Amen. Do you think it's God's purpose for you to worship him? Amen. But then we have other purposes that come up, don't we? And we justify them. Do you think it's God's purpose for us to pray and have communication with him? Amen. Yes. How often? Every day. Just continually, right? Amen. Is there a time, does he want us just to worship him when we come together here on Sunday morning? No, so you're saying if there's opportunities to do that, then we should, if we're really after his purpose, And then you take that to another level and say, not only me, like I'm the father of children. So if my purpose is really, really after God's own heart and I want to bring my children to God, then my purpose would be evident in the fact that it wasn't just, hey, we don't have an excuse not to go, or we don't have something else going on. My purpose would mean that that purpose was above any of the other purposes, because I have a lot of purposes that are external purposes, don't you? And I began to realize what a big deal this was. God had a purpose to fulfill with David. He didn't look on the surface of him. And God has a purpose to fulfill with you, and he doesn't look on the surface. He looks within us. He looks at our heart to see if we're willing to fulfill his purpose. If we are, then his blessings and favor are going to be on our life. Amen. That's the way it works. And as easy as that is to understand, I failed at it, you failed at it, right? Amen. How many people want God's blessing and favor on your life? Do you know that he will anoint your actions and bless your actions if he looks at your heart and your heart is about his purpose? David wasn't perfect, even though he was a man after God's own heart. David sinned. But David recognized his sin and was willing to repent of his sin because he didn't want to have anything between him and God. We know one of David's big sins, right? One of his big sins was that he was in the castle and Bathsheba was there, and he should have been with the people fighting out, but he saw her and he lusted after her, and he made provisions to have her come to him. Was that God's purpose? What happened to this man after God's own heart? What happened? You see, David wasn't going after the purpose in his heart anymore. He was going after this external purpose. You see, we all have external purposes, and we'll call the external the flesh. We want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't have to be a sexual lust. Things we want. Anybody in here would like to be financially well off? Oh, you better quit lying. We would like to be financially well off. We would like to have these things. We would like to have those. But sometimes they take over. They're external, right? And in the middle of knowing that you're a child of God and your purpose is in your heart, you begin to see all these other purposes. And I want to call those purposes something. Since they're not in the heart, they're on the outward, let's call those surface purposes. And today, I want to talk to you so that you can understand how easy it is to go from this inward purpose that God has to a surface purpose. Say it with me, a surface purpose. And in the middle of living a Christian life, do you realize that we could switch back at times different through the day to our own surface purpose? That surface purpose can change as our desires change, right? Hey, I hope we learned something about ourselves today. You see, the thing is, God can see our heart. He can see if we have a heart to carry out his purpose. God can see past the surface of our actions and our words. It's important because there's a lot of people in this world that do not have fellowship with God, and a lot of people that do not have the blessings of God on their life because they cannot see that right now they're living a surface purpose. God wants our purpose to be right in our heart. God looks in our heart and our actions to see if we have a surface purpose. And I thought to myself, would we be willing to pray the prayer that David prayed, to ask God to look below the surface of our life and see our heart? Would we be willing to pray, God, search me and know my heart? Or would we need to take some time and get everything right and then pray it? You know, it's safe to say, we probably should look at the definition of purpose. The purpose, by definition, is to have as an intention to do something. It says, a result which is desired to obtain and which is kept in mind in performing an action. A purpose. What's your purpose? You know, you put your purpose in. That purpose is what you have in mind. It's what gears you to do something, it's safe to say that our purpose, it's our purpose that motivates our actions. Would that be true? Our purpose motivates our actions? And would it be safe to say that when we're not tuning in on our purpose, we probably wouldn't have many actions? You look at somebody and you think, why aren't they accomplishing anything? Well, they're not even thinking about their purpose. They're just living out life. You ever see somebody like that? Maybe you've been like that. The purpose of every Christian that's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart is to glorify God. He puts a purpose in our heart when He saves us. The purpose is ultimately to glorify Him and to do His sovereign will while we live our lives. And you might think, well, hey, that doesn't sound as exciting as my fleshly purpose. And the devil keeps us thinking that way, so he can switch us back all the time to our fleshly purpose. But understand, once you designate and you focus on the purpose that God gives you in your heart, there is no more exciting way to live. To know that God's fighting your battles for you, to know that He's doing things that you can't describe, to know that you've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother, to know that you're never going to be alone because He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you, to know that He not only gives you companionship in this life, but He's prepared a place for you, and if He prepares a place, He's coming back. Listen, I'm completely motivated by my internal purpose, and I'm motivated because my internal purpose has somebody besides me working on it. You see, my external purpose, it seems to change, and it has changed throughout my life. And so I want you to consider this. You see, our struggle sometimes is just like David's. It's easy for us to switch our minds away from God's purpose and stop listening to our heart and change our purpose to something that's going to satisfy our fleshly wants or our surface wants. And it doesn't have to be anything that's bad. I'm not talking about some heinous sin. We can switch our purpose away from God from something that we can completely try to explain that maybe has to do with taking care of our family or doing something for them, even though our family is our purpose. But if you look at how you're leading your family, parents, and you say that my purpose is to lead them to God, God gave them to me, and then you look at what you're doing in life in accordance with God's purpose to them, you will see that sometimes we even have a surface purpose in leading our children. If our purpose to fulfill their lives takes them away from fellowship with God, it's a surface purpose. God's not going to be in it. But I'm not the judge of you. I don't search your heart. I don't test your thoughts. But God said, I, the Lord, do. Right? So, let's talk about surface a minute. We define purpose, but surface is the outer level of a two-dimensional object. You have the outer, which is the surface, and you have the inner, which is everything that's under the surface. The surface is what we can see with our eyes. We're easily tempted by what we see with our eyes. But you know what? The funny thing about the surface of things, you see, the problem with the surface of things is the surface changes. It erodes. They change. They deteriorate. And when we see that they're changing, do you realize we put our attention on fixing them? People look and they'll see that, well, the house is a certain age. So I need to fix up the exterior so when people come by and look at it. And you might be trying to sell it and you realize it's reached that age and the realtor tells you, well, you need to do this or need to do that because somebody's going to look at the what first? The outside. Go look at the surface. So let's put some paint on it. Let's do this. Let's do that. But does that fix the bones in the body of the house? No. And then maybe there's that car that gets some body damage and you think, listen, I need to get that to the body shop immediately because it needs to get fixed. I'm not going to drive around in something that's dented up. So you take it to the body shop and, hey, it's dented up and they fix the dent and they paint the exterior, right? They change the surface so that when you see it going down the street, but it's still using a quart of oil a week and it's got problems inside and you didn't fix that. Did you change the car? No, you changed the surface. You didn't even change the functionality of the car. You just changed the appearance. And then we could go a step further and you can think, well, hey, people do that because we're always looking at the surface. Anytime we get something, do you realize the amount of money that is spent in the plastic surgery field just for cosmetic surgery? To be able to take this out and take that out and the advertisements. And I looked on TV when I was switching the other day and I saw three distinct commercials that were, you can rub this here and it'll take these out, and here's some mystery oil that comes from the bottom of a hoof of some animal that came, and it's a distinct thing, and hey, they've reserved 30 minutes of time to where you can put it right here and it stretches this out and it's going to make you look before, look after, look before, look after. And I thought to myself, because of course I'm working on the sermon, hey, I don't know that woman. I don't know how she is before and after. I can see that this doesn't look like this, but she might still be the same hateful person she was before. Right? Right? I mean, even the everyday thing that we do to make sure, and it looks like some of you have spent some time this morning before you came here to make sure the outside looked as good as it could. Right? I made this little room in my house when we built the house, and that was for Angie to go in there before she goes out in public. What do we call that room? That's the paint booth. That's what I call it. You know what it is? It's a room where you can go in and put your cosmetics on, right? Make all kind of faces when you're doing this or that. But it's a room that's in there, right? Women, how many of you use cosmetics? Think about cosmetic. You know, the definition of cosmetic is done or made for the sake of appearance. It's an outward appearance. You see, cosmetic purposes are for surface purposes. I'm glad you do it. I'm not preaching against cosmetics or fixing up anything, but I'm just saying it doesn't change the person. It changes the appearance of the person. And we're so inclined to that it's a billion-dollar industry because that matters. But you'd be hard-pressed to convince somebody to come and to the presence of God to increase their inside this morning. Because we do care about the outside. We are prone to pay more attention to the surface. But I've given you a passage of Scripture this morning that says that God pays more attention to the inside. He looks at the heart and He looks at the mind, right? Do you know the reason that a lot of people, even Christians, are not inclined to concentrate on the inner purpose of God? Why do they have a surface purpose? Because they have a surface knowledge. We have a surface purpose because we have a surface knowledge. There are untold millions of people who are claiming to know God, are people that are giving Him this day every week, and they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, but they're not interested in getting any deeper in the Word. They don't want to have that knowledge increased. They have a surface knowledge of God. And they're fine to come in and get this morning, but to see them consistently say, hey, there's a time tonight I can come in and bring my kids, there's a time tonight or Wednesday I can come in and they can be involved and the kids can learn. No, listen, it's a surface knowledge, and a surface knowledge will always lead to a surface purpose. A surface knowledge of God just puts God in this one place, but for them to be able to look back and see the details that God wants you to know, the depth of knowledge about God. That's what we come and do at the times where we learn about Him, right? That's what we come and do at the times of fellowship. We learn Him better. We know Him better. It's a more intimate relationship. And when you have something over surface knowledge, then, well, you won't just have a surface purpose. In the book of 2 Peter, if you were to read chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, Paul is talking about this superficial knowledge of God and saying that we need to have an inward knowledge of God. He's saying that we need to live our life with a purpose, to live a godly life with a purpose. You know, it comes to us, this this purpose comes to us when we become a child of God. But do you know that it has to come to a person for them to become a child of God? You know, for a person to get saved, they have to change their purpose. They have to say, I want to die to myself and live to God. How many people in here are saved? Anybody in here saved? Did you not have to change your purpose? Did you not have to repent of your sin? Understand this, you can't be saved without repentance. Repentance is a change of way, but a change of purpose. I no longer want to live my life for me. If I didn't want to change my purpose to live my life for God, then I couldn't have gotten saved. I would have continued on the same track that I was that says, hey, I don't want to have to do what these people are doing. Being able to talk about God and do things for other people, I want to do it my way. Right? We all have that in us. There has to be a time in somebody's life when they're guilty of that and they say, well, I'm separated from God. You see, my way is against God's way because my natural way is sin. And Peter uses this passage of Scripture and he talks about this knowledge that we need to have and grow. And then he says you need to add to this knowledge. And he talks about faith and virtue, which is doing good things, and temperance, which is self-control, and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, which is love. These things are internal things that cause us to act accordingly. He says, give diligence, meaning give attention and effort to add these things to who you really are. And the reason I'm using this passage is because when we start looking at this and we see that he's saying, hey, your surface purpose, well, it'll overtake you if you just have surface knowledge. But if you begin to add knowledge about the Lord, and then you add to that knowledge these different things which are saying, I want to do this because God would want me to do it. And I want to be patient because God would want me to. And I want to be self-controlled because I'm representing God. And I want to live godly because that's going to please God. And I want to have brotherly kindness. And I want to have love towards people. And I want to live the right way. And I want to have faith because I know that that's what God's purpose. When you begin to do those things, you'll begin to see the blessings of God come upon your life. You see, our purpose is to live a life of representing Father God after we become His child. But if our purpose is not inwardly driven, then our purpose of living for God will probably change from year to year, won't it? You see, God wants you and I to be changed on the inside. Who you really are is who you are on the inside. Our internal drive is what motivates our external actions. If our purpose to live a life pleasing to God is not an inward belief, if our purpose to live for God is not a product of our inner conviction, if our purpose to serve God is not a product of our inner desire to be in the will of God, then we're a Christian that simply has a surface purpose. That's hard to hear. But God knew it before today. The thing about His Word is He wants us to know. He wants us to pay attention to it. See, the thing about a surface purpose is a surface purpose changes whenever your mind changes. You know those people that go from one thing to the next. I want to get fulfillment out of this. Nope, now I want to get fulfillment out of this. Nope, now I want to get fulfillment out of this. And here's what we'll do, and here's my next plan, and this is going to give us a little bit more wealth, so we'll put this effort in this, and here's the next thing that I want to do, and it's going to give us a little bit more pleasure, and I'll put this in here. And then when you turn it to your Christian walk, well, I'll do this. Well, I've done it for a while, but I don't know. It's not appealing to me anymore, so now I'll do this, or now I'll try this, or now I'll try. When the surface changes, the surface always changes, doesn't it? Every time a storm comes, the surface changes. I watch it happen all the time after a rain, right? The surface changes. What's underneath, well, that's stable, but you'll start seeing these ruts the water makes, right? You'll start seeing the things the wind does. And what we do is we look at the surface and then we change our aim, don't we? We change our purpose. Someone who has a surface purpose may live for the Lord for a while, but then change their purpose to something else. They always have the next thing that they want to acquire. The next thing they want to experience, the next thing that they want to own, their purpose in life seems to change throughout their life because they keep wanting to redefine their purpose. Some people evaluate their purpose on how others see them also. We're inclined to do this, aren't we? We evaluate our purpose on how other people see us instead of how God sees us. Some fall in discouragement and depression because they feel like they're not achieving their purpose. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus." This is verse 2. He said, "According to his divine power, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him." You hear how he keeps saying knowledge, knowing him better? But we fail to focus on that sometimes because we have such a surface purpose. It's just about what we want others to see. He says, "While there are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust." And this lust is not meaning a sexual lust. It's meaning just what we want. "Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, the knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things," listen to this, "you shall never fall." How many people in life have had a surface purpose, and that surface purpose is blown apart and you've fallen in that surface purpose? Anybody? God says, here's a guarantee. I'm trying to explain this to you. Here's a guarantee. If your purpose is an inward purpose, then it will be anointed by my power, my blessing, my favor. It can't fall. Glory to God. Then why am I so inclined to switch so easily from God's purpose back to my purpose? I was going so good for weeks, but then, hey, I've had a couple of weeks where I just drifted away. Man, it was to the point where I was so faithful to this and so faithful to this, but then, you know, I had these other things come up and it's taken me away. Well, short of just having to spend some time in the hospital or something like that, a lot of times our purpose changed because we had a lot of other things that became our purpose. I know Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He explained that our purpose as a Christian was not to focus on ourselves to build up our name. Our purpose is definitely not surface. We're supposed to focus on the inward purpose which is given to us in our hearts when we're saved. When we grow in knowledge, God shined a light. He says God shined a light in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, this light that God gave us. Anybody ever received the light? Anybody ever received Jesus Christ? He says this knowledge that he gave us, this light that he gave us, this security that he gave us, was given to us in an earthen vessel. Earthen vessel is our exterior, which includes our old mind, right? It was given to us in an earthen vessel. It's a spiritual thing given to us in an earthen vessel. The surface is the vessel. That's where my problems are. That's where your problems are, right? And if I'm not intentional to know about it, I'll just keep having surface problems. Why? Because no one has to really teach me or prod me to have a surface purpose, do they? The whole world is trying to gear me in a surface purpose. The whole advertising world is geared upon that. And if I were just to not look at any advertising, then still there's going to be this driving voice in my flesh that tells me what I want, right? What I want for me. What you want for you. And we would be naive if we were not to think about this. So what does he say? You have to battle against it. It's in an earthen vessel. And the surface sometimes is going to, it's going to take some damage. But he goes on in chapter 8. And he's able to tell us, hey, this surface that you're worrying about here, this surface is something that I've got protected. 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He says, you may be troubled on every side, but you're not distressed. You're perplexed, but not in despair. Listen as he goes on. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What does that mean? That means the purpose that Jesus came for. We accepted him as our Savior. That his purpose keeps going through, even though our body, our outward, our surface might take some chinks, might take some dents, his purpose will be carried out. We shall never fall. Praise God. Amen. If we're confident in our inward purpose, then we will be confident to pray the prayer that David prayed. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, O God, and know my thoughts. How many people, think about it, are we so confident that we are living in the purpose of God that we would invite God today to say, God, search my heart right now? That's tough, isn't it? It's one of those things where you're answering, you're saying, yes, I would. And inside it's like, oh, no, I wouldn't, not right now. See, but God tells us to have an inward purpose instead of a surface purpose. Everyone in the world has a surface purpose. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you get to verse 16, he says, I want to put it in perspective. He says, but though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. Can I tell you something about the surface? It's temporary. Why? It's always going to change. How do I find God's distinct purpose? You say, well, how do I find it? Listen, he made it so easy. And Jesus said, I want you to grab this. It's not hard. Matthew 7, seek and you will find. Amen. Right? How do you seek? Well, he gives it to us in these three things. In the middle, he has the word seek. He says, ask. Who do you ask? Me? No, I mean, I might be able to lead you to God and give you a scripture, but you need to talk to him. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be opened on you. This is a promise of God. I want you to know. Come to me. Ask me. Seek me. Because the outside, the surface, will overtake your life and you can spend even your Christian life steeped in worry and fear. That's why he gave us Matthew chapter 6, which said all these external things that you worry about all the time, even down to your basic needs, what you have, what you'll eat, your clothing, what you'll wear. God says, don't worry about those things. I do those for even the birds of the air. I feed them. You're much more important than them. I clothe the grass in the field. You're much more important than them. I know what you need before you even ask, but ask me. Why? Because I want to see if you're seeking me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. What he's saying here, have an inner purpose instead of a surface purpose. If you have an inner purpose, you're just like David. The anointing of God will be on you. The favor of God will be on you. The peace of God will be on you, because your purpose is his purpose. Your heart is after his heart. How many of us have got it wrong for so long? Yes. You see, my surface life is what I want to do for me. Peter warns us in 1 Peter 4, 7, he says, be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You know what this means? He says we need to pay attention to it. Like this morning, we need to bring it up and talk about it. Be sober. That means be alert, be aware. You know, these things happen to us, and we can get out of fellowship with God even as a Christian and not even be aware of it. We turn around. Anybody in here ever turned around and think, man, I really am not as close to God as I need to be, right? Well, would that have happened to you as a child, or would you have stayed right close to your parents? Consider this. Would you have went days or months and realized, hey, where are my parents at? Would that have happened to you? No. Why? In your heart, you really needed them. In your heart, you really counted on them. But Father God, we can drift away a little bit with our purpose, drift away a little bit with our purpose. Hey, and I was the world's worst. I was telling them the other day, the world's worst. I was the kid that wandered off from my parents in the store. I can't tell you how many times I had to go to that microphone back in the store and say, hey, will the parents of Mike show, please come up to the whatever. But I realized it. But man, I would get looking at something. And I would go down this aisle, and I would go down this aisle. And so early on, I realized, I didn't realize it then, but I can say now, I realized, man, I really had a surface purpose. I really did. The devil says, hey, if that's the case, you need to be sober. And he's not even talking about what we would think sober. He's saying, you need to be alert, aware about this, about yourself. And watch unto prayer. Watch out for it. Pay attention to it unto prayer. Pray about it. Peter told us in that fifth chapter, 1 Peter, you don't have to turn there, I'm just telling you, he says, we need to be on guard. Why? Because the devil wants to devour us. He's like a roaring lion. He seeks who we have, who he wants to devour. But how does he devour us? Do you know he devours us by distracting us from our real purpose? We get consumed in our own fleshly purpose and stop living for the purpose that God has for us. I mean, you think about it this morning, we talk about these different things and, hey, you talk about, okay, how many people sing in the choir? Well, there's people that can sing. If God gave you that, why wouldn't you be? Well, there's something else that you have in mind that's keeping you from doing it. I don't want to do it because of this. I don't want to do it because of this. All those things are related to another purpose. But if God wants you to do it and you can do it, well, you would be serving his purpose. We could apply that to every single thing we talked about this morning. When you begin to purpose something in your heart, that becomes your motivating factor. That becomes your real purpose. My surface life is what I want to do for me. It's what I want to own. It's the possessions I want to have, the pleasure I want to experience, the people that I want to impress. My surface purpose is to make my mark in this world, to make my name great. And all these things are judged by my exterior, but my life here, my exterior, will pass away. And the reason it's such a timely message is because it's so easy for us to switch back our mind from trying to achieve God's purpose to start trying to fulfill our own purpose, isn't it? I mean, I'm not telling you something that we don't experience, right? Hey, so when I was battling with my purpose some years ago, there was a time that I left a customer's house, and I had ran from my calling for a long time, and you know, I had another business, and you know, I hadn't even accepted the calling to preach. And in this business, I was trying to lead a godly life. But I can remember leaving someone's house that night, and we'd went in and we'd put new floors in their house, and it was the third time since I'd been in that business, third time in over 20 years that we had replaced the same floor in the same house. Great people. You received a check right when we're done. Can I get a witness? Isn't that a great person when you get paid for something you do? So received the check, and I remember driving home, and it was from the other side of Salisbury. I remember driving home, battling a thought in my mind. It was late, and so I just began to think, and I had this great thought that came up that said, hey, you changed it again, did it again. There's the check. You went in, you've done it again. I remember what it was. Now I know what it is, and you've changed it again. But you know, it's funny how when you're in the quiet, the Holy Spirit just keeps speaking to you. The conversation, I didn't hear a voice speak or anything. It's just God that's speaking. I began to battle this thought in my mind that said, what did you really change? And I began to filter that thought. You know how it goes. Well, I changed the room. Here's the check. I changed it again. It used to be this. Now I changed it. I changed it before. I changed it now. I've changed it. The people are happy. This is what my life purpose is to make the people happy. I've got the check. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to give that. All those things are good. Everybody is good and happy in this story. Then why aren't you happy? I don't know why I'm not happy. I've changed it again. Why am I not happy? Well, consider this question, Mike. Suppose something happens to you tomorrow. Will those people change their floors again? Yes, they will. They're those kind of people. Well, who will change them? Well, whoever the next guy is, I guess. Then what did you really change? You changed temporary things, Mike. That's all you change, and you're happy about it. Your purpose in life is to go around changing the surface of things, and you think that makes people happy. And I called you to do something for me. And you're content with just changing things that are going to be changed again? What eternal difference does that make? Listen, it changed my life. I was bawling by the time I got home. Why? Because I realized something. I was living a surface purpose. And do you realize that was a pivot point in my life? I said, even though I know God, and it had nothing to do with my calling as a pastor, just as a Christian, you know, I'm going to start this day and I'm not going to have a surface purpose anymore. Everything is going to be motivated around God. And, you know, at that point, God began to bless this and bless that. I mean, it was just amazing the peace that you left there with. But you know how easy it is for your mind to switch back, right? So I had to be intentional through the years and recall that story. That's why I can recall it so good to you. I switch back to that and recall that story a lot because that day God showed me that I wasn't living for Him. I was living a surface purpose. And I bring that to you today because God has a purpose for you. He tells us in 2 Timothy 1:9 that He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. Little Ethan, his birthday this week. Was he nine? Eight? Nine? Okay. I remember when he was born, right? We prayed over him. And what did we pray, man? What did we pray? That God would use him, right? He's still here. Praise God. I know that God's got a purpose for him. There's somebody here that's in their 80s. You know that God, He orders our steps. He knows the minute we're going to leave. God's still got a purpose for that person. That's 80. And I don't want to live my life with a surface purpose, knowing God's given me this day, and I'm living it with just this exterior purpose. I've done it, and it's hard. I would much rather live with the anointing of God. To know as David walked into those battles that it wasn't about his ability. It was about God that said, I'll go before you and fight for you. I'll go let you conquer this land. You're representing me. He knew when David stepped in front of that giant and was offended that you talked about my God like that, right? Oh, David was a man after God's own heart. Meaning David had an inward purpose. And when did he fall? When it became a surface purpose. David's no different than we are. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. That was the purpose God made you, to come to Him. Jesus died for you so that you would have a way to be able to have your sins forgiven and come into fellowship with God. Today, if you're here and you're not absolutely sure you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, His purpose was for you to be here today. Now you can purpose your life after Him. And it doesn't mean that you have to live perfectly, but it means that you designate and say today, God, I know that Jesus came for a purpose, and my purpose is going to be to come to you. I'll pray with you today. You can be saved today. But Christian, you know, this is one of those rededicate my life sermons. It's one of those things that look below the surface. It's easy to go on our everyday thing as life goes on, right? But weigh your purpose in life against what you're doing for the Lord and His purpose. And it'll tell you right quick in this invitation today whether you have a surface purpose. Come and fall before a Father that loves you and pray to Him. and know that His anointing and His blessing will be on you, and that He'll use you in every area that you happen to walk into tomorrow. And He'll give you a confidence that David had that said, okay, go ahead and search my heart. Look at my thoughts. Father God, I love You. I praise You. I thank You for who You are. I pray, God, today that You would take this message, Lord. You would apply it to our hearts. I pray, God, if there's someone here that's lost, they would see their need to be saved. But, Lord, Christians all over this room, let us be able to see, Lord. Show us, convict us today if we have a surface purpose, Lord. And, Lord, as prayers are lifted up to You this morning, I pray, God, You would accept those prayers and let a peace flow over them. Have Your favor and anointing upon them, just as You did David. Lord, I pray that You change lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.